Good morning. You're listening to CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, Manitoba.
Support for CKUW is provided by Organic Planet, Winnipeg's only worker-owned organic grocery and vegan deli, located at 877 Westminster Avenue, serving Wolseley and Winnipeg for over 30 years.
What do you read, my lord?
Words. Words.
Words.
Good morning, I'm Susan Hubert, and this is Bookworm on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, the show where I talk mainly about books that I have reviewed, I interview authors, and sometimes just talk about the books. But either way, this is a chance for you to find out more about what's available in the book world.
Good morning and welcome to the show for Tuesday, December 23rd, 2025. I hope you're all having a good day so far. It's nice that it's a little bit warmer than it has been, since I like to be outside, but not when it's blowing snow and cold and everything. But today I'll be talking probably about two books, and I hope you'll enjoy that. But first I'll start with a little bit of news. So according to the CBC, a mudslide on Sunday closed a large part of the Stanley Park seawall in Vancouver, following what the City Parks Operations Department described as significant rainfall. The affected area runs from Prospect Point and Siwash Rock, while the area closed to the public is between Third Beach and the Lionsgate Bridge, as operations staff and engineers assess the stability of the slope and clean up the debris left behind by the mudslide. Vegetation and rocks also fell at the same time as the mud. Then in international news, something that happened last night. So according to CBC News, last night Russia fired over 650 drones and 36 missiles at targets in Ukraine, killing at least three people, including a four-year-old child. The strike, which affected at least 13 regions of Ukraine, also injured another five people. In the Odessa region, the strikes destroyed energy, port, transport, industrial, and residential infrastructure. Russian strikes against Ukraine have increased since peace talks began in Miami, Florida. So that's the news for today. And then in the weather, currently it's minus 14 degrees and it's cloudy. And the forecast for today is minus 14 degrees with chance of flurries. Then tonight, minus 15 and cloudy. For tomorrow, Wednesday, December 24th, minus 13 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, then overnight, minus 18 degrees with cloudy periods. For Thursday, December 25th, Christmas, it's minus 7 degrees and cloudy during the day, and overnight, minus 8 degrees with periods of snow. Then for Friday, December 26th, minus 8 degrees with a mix of sun and cloud, then overnight, minus 9 degrees with a 60% chance of flurries. Then over on Saturday, December 27th, the forecast is minus 8 degrees with periods of snow and then quite cold overnight, minus 24 degrees with a 60% chance of flurries. So that's the news and weather for the next little bit. And now it's time for CKUW's event guide. From concert and club listings to community announcements, we help you keep in touch with what's going on in Winnipeg. So in case anyone still needs to buy some gifts, there's a market at Polo Park. It was yesterday and today. That's the Polo Park Winter Pop-Up at CF Polo Park. And so if you need to buy something for friends or family members, be sure to get out to that area. And then for another event that I've mentioned before, there's the Community 204 Walks. And so those are basically to see what's going on in the community and to meet people and just to show support for them. So it says, join us every Friday at 5:30 p.m. Meet at 605 Main Street. And some of the items needed are water bottles, snacks, and sandwiches. So if you'd like to check that out, go to 605 Main Street at 5:30 on Friday. If not this Friday, then the following Friday, since it seems to happen every Friday, I guess, except in extreme weather. So those are a few of the events listed in the guide. If you'd like to have your event listed as well, please drop by CQW, email us at cqw@uwinnipeg.ca, or call 204-786-9782. So now I'd like to talk, hopefully play an interview that I did a while ago, and also talk about a book that I've talked about in the past, but with what's happening in Ukraine, I thought this would be appropriate to talk about again. This is called The Incredible Events in Women's Cell No. 3, a novel, by Kira Yarmish. That's Yarmysh. And it's translated from Russian by Arch Tate. Published by Grove Press, and it's 374 pages. So here's my review. A prison cell is an unlikely place to gain valuable insights into life and to explore new abilities. In The Incredible Events in Women's Cell No. 3, Russian writer Kira Yarmysh combines elements of mythology and the supernatural in a novel depicting how people are treated in an unjust society, while also exploring the idea of powers that help to mitigate the circumstances that allow intolerance to thrive. The first part of the book follows the main character, Anya Romanova, as she is introduced to the routine of the detention center where she has been sent for attending an anti-corruption demonstration. While following the routine of going for meals, enduring the daily inspections and other aspects of her new circumstances, Anya learns about the widely varying characteristics of the women imprisoned for an array of minor offenses in the same cell where she is. Although her cellmates seem normal at first, Anya soon begins to see visions or hallucinations of the other women in more terrifying circumstances. Soon she comes to see her cellmates in the role of the Fates from Greek mythology, who held the threads of people's lives and cut those threads when each person was to die. The theme of threads becomes part of each inmate's story. For example, Diana's knitting or unraveling of the scarf that she's making for her husband corresponds with the state of his health. A guard's necklace and a woven mesh bottle holder are two other examples of the theme of threads running through the book, helping to tie together the different women's experiences. As Anya reflects on the events that she sees around her, she begins to wonder whether she also might be one of the Fates, as in the mythological Fates. After experiencing a major disappointment in her case, her anger drives her to consider testing her abilities with a necklace belonging to a particularly unpleasant guard. In the end, readers must make their own decisions about the results of Anya's test, whether she actually had the power to do anything or it was just her imagination. On one level, The Incredible Events in Women's Cell No. 3 is a statement on marginalization and intolerance in Russia under Vladimir Putin. Running alongside this political story, however, is a highly intangible, almost mythological tale that draws on imagination and imagery to portray an attempt to gain a measure of control in a situation where people can often feel powerless. For some readers, the story of ordinary women imprisoned for trivial offenses is important enough that the supernatural elements tend to detract from the story. Still, including the idea of the Fates is a unique way of bringing out the different characteristics of the characters in the story, while allowing for Anya's final dilemma. Readers can enjoy the book at both levels, either as just kind of a literal story of imprisoned women or as a mythological story. And now a little bit of a biography. Kira Yarmysh was born in Russia and graduated from the Moscow State Institute of International Relations. Since 2014, or beginning in 2014, she worked for Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny, and you might remember that he was killed a little while ago. And so she has been arrested several times in connection with her work, once spending a month in prison. Following some of these events, she went into exile, where she continued to live. The Incredible Events in Women's Cell No. 3 is her first novel. So in case you're interested in reading this, especially in light of what happened last night, that this is called The Incredible Events in Women's Cell No. 3, a novel, by Kira Yarmish. Kira is K-I-R-A, and Yarmish is Y-A-R-M-Y-S-H. And that's Grove Press, and that's 374 pages. So that's one of the books that I wanted to talk about, and despite the strangeness, it was very interesting and a good insight into how people think when they're under stress and what kind of imagination they can have sometimes. So now I'll play a little bit of music and then talk about, or hopefully play the interview that I had with another author. So this is an album by Astor Piazzolla, and it's called Tango Nuevo. And this piece is called Cafe 1930. I hope you'll enjoy it. Thank you. Welcome back. That was Cafe 1930 in the album by Astor Piazzolla called Tango Nuevo. I hope you enjoyed that. So before the music, I was talking about a book by Kira Yarmish about, well, a fiction book about being imprisoned in Russia because of pro-democracy activities. She was an assistant to Alexei Navalny, as I mentioned in my review. But here I have a very different Russian story, which I think I've played before. This was an interview with Diana Stevan, whose parents or grandparents, ancestors at least, came from Russia at some point, but not in the same way that people are coming now. But I hope you'll enjoy this.
For CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg, and can I get you to introduce yourself?
Yes, I'm Diana Stevan. I'm a mother living in Campbell River on Vancouver Island.
And I've read one of your books, Sunflowers Under Fire, and I see from your website that you've written a variety of different books. Can you talk a little bit about them?
Yes. I was a family therapist for 25 years, and I've done a number of different occupations. So I've always wanted to be a writer, but, being practical, it's not that easy to count on having a steady income if you're a writer. So I put the dream off for a long time. And I took an early retirement when we moved to Vancouver Island, and I started to focus on my writing. First, it was screenplays. I wrote three screenplays, had an agent in Toronto and Vancouver, and came close to selling one in Hollywood. Jodie Foster's agent liked one particular screenplay. But when they passed on it, and my agent kind of thought, well, nothing was happening, I decided to turn it into a novel. And it began my life as a novelist. So my first novel was a romantic mystery adventure, set in the Boss on Manhattan and off the coast of Ireland. And it's an undersea photographer. That took a lot of research. There was a treasure hunt, marine archaeology, salvaging, and some normal genre. It was very exciting writing that book. I love that book, and I may write it. And then I wrote one inspired by my work on a psychiatric ward. I was a family therapist on a ward at the Winnipeg General Hospital at the Health Science Center. And I was shocked to discover something that was going on there. Anyway, it was a traumatic experience working there, and I thought, write a book, which is called The Good Reflect. And then I thought I would continue writing women's fiction, but as I was telling a family anecdote to my granddaughter, she said to me, you should write that book. And Baba, you should write that book. So I started writing my Baba and Baba's story of their life in Russia, which is present-day Ukraine. It's the west side of Ukraine, from 1915 to 1929, during the Great War and the wars that followed, including the Bolshevik Revolution. And when I finished writing Sunflowers Under Fire, which is a book on biographical readers, want to know what I love. So I wrote some more, and it became a trilogy.
Well, that sounds very good. And from what I read in Sunflowers Under Fire, it follows a certain character, Lucia, I think you pronounce it, and her family.
Yes, my Baba.
So these are your actual relatives that you're writing about?
Yes, my relatives, yes. And I felt that I could do that because I didn't even write them as children, because I knew my uncles, my mother's brothers. I knew them as adults, but I guess with my family therapy background, I could, step back and figure out how they would have been as children. And I had my mother's anecdotes. I was very fortunate. My mother was a natural storyteller, and I wrote down her stories before she passed away. And I was able to string them like pearls on and fill in the blanks and a lot of research about what's going on at the time, you know, the wars and stuff. Like this, their life in a refugee camp in the Caucasus. I'm very thankful, and I had a wonderful editor. I had a wonderful editor who, helped me bring the thoughts and emotions out in the characters.
That sounds very good. So, I suppose with any kind of historical fiction, you need to add some fictional characters and fictional episodes, but would most of the book be fairly historically accurate?
Yes, it was. I mean, I did, I'm a stickler for research. I love research. And so I, besides having my mother's anecdotes, I home to the library, Vancouver, Toronto, Winnipeg. We were in New York City, I went to New York. We even went to Stamford, Connecticut, which has a very large Ukrainian library. I was able to get a little bit out of that one, but unfortunately, my Ukrainian, I can read and write, but it wasn't, some of the vocabulary was just beyond my ability. But I was able to get enough to write the story, and I combed the internet as well. There were some videos, long forgotten, but they're there. And I have a cousin who she's in her 90s now, so she filled in some blanks. I can do that more for the sequel. And there was a professor of Slavic studies, Oleg Garris, at the University of Manitoba. That was also helpful in terms of some of that research. But I spent a lot of time, years actually, doing the research for the book.
And do you have any plans for future books at the moment?
Yes, I'm actually, I have a collection of short stories that are on submission right now with some independent presses. Not sure what will happen there, whether I'll just give up waiting throughout myself. And I'm working on an inspirational book, which I've been wanting to write for a long time. It's based on my work as a family therapist and my love of gardening. And then I started a new novel that's based on a stage play that I wrote that probably would never get produced because there's not a lot of celebrity characters in there that would be very difficult to have. So I'm thinking I should turn that into a novel. So I have a number of projects in the book.
That sounds very interesting. And is there anything else you'd like to add about some of your work or about your research or anything else?
Well, I mean, if you would like me to read a few paragraphs from my third novel of the trilogy, my Baba's story. And by the way, each book, Some Fires Under Fire, Lilac from the Dust Bowl, takes place in Manitoba and Winnipeg, on the Mental Affairs and Winnipeg, when the family immigrates to Canada in 1929, just before the Great Depression began. The second book in the trilogy, and then Paper Roses on Flying Mountain, which came out in October 2022, and made the list of best fiction for 2022 in the New York Reader's Journal. That covers 1937 to 1943, beginning of the year of years.
I'm sure that would be very good to hear from one of your books.
I can read you a couple of paragraphs if you like.
Oh, sure, that would be very good. Thanks.
Okay, so this is taking place in Stony Mountain. The Paper Roses on Stony Mountain is told in three voices. In Lucia's voice, the daughter Dolly, and in Peter's voice, the young man who is in love with Dolly. So this is a section where we hear Peter's voice. The thoughts about the war grew. People discussed whose son had signed up and whose son wanted to. Because of the requirements. Few were too short, Tom said. And then there was the schooling. Peter had to explain again why he hadn't enlisted. I tried, he said. I don't have grade 10. Embarrassed, he said it quietly more than once. He'd been the smartest boy in his class. Now, when he walked the street, he avoided some people. The ones he suspected would ask him why he wasn't joining the Army or the Air Force or the Navy. "The country needs you, boy," one said. "The forces need a strong boy like you," said another. And Peter mumbled his reasons. They said words like, "Ah, oh, too bad you can't go," and "What a shame." Peter's face flushed, and he looked down at his shoes as he quickly walked away.
"Thank you very much. That sounds very interesting and very..."
"Thank you, Susan."
"It sounds like you really capture the period, so..."
"Well, again, you know, there's a lot of research, but thankfully I love research."
"That's very good. So I look forward to hearing more about..."
So that was Diana Steven talking about her book about her grandparents in Ukraine. So I hope you enjoyed that. And coming up next is Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman. And I'll be back next week with some more books to talk about. So thanks for listening and have a great week. Happy New Year. Merry Christmas.
"What do you read, my lord?"
"Words. Words.
Words."
This is the end of Bookworm on CQW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg for today, and I hope that you have been inspired to pick up a new book to read. Be sure to tune in next week for more discussions about books, and thanks for listening.
Support for CKUW is provided by the West End Cultural Centre, your friendly local arts nonprofit, bringing you live music, community, and connection since 1987.
Thanks for tuning in. This is CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg.